Well, welcome. And welcome as well to anybody who's listening and catching up on the podcast as well. So we're going to be back in Romans 5 today. Yesterday we were looking at the first two verses of the chapter and thinking about how our past sins, our present life and our future glory are all covered by faith in Jesus, and so we have reason to rejoice. And one of the things with the rejoicing is that it's not just a theoretical thing. It's not rejoicing over some vague idealism, but it is something that is real and solid and practical because of the cross, because of what Jesus has done. And perhaps especially so in challenging circumstances. So we're going to read the same verses that we did yesterday. So just the first five verses of Romans 5, and Davina is going to read it for us.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Thanks, Davina. So Paul has said that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God at the end of verse 2. Not many would argue that that is a good reason to rejoice. To rejoice in the hope of glory seems fairly reasonable. But then the first phrase of verse 3 is a little bit trickier. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. The word that he uses for suffering, it's not a general word that encompasses all suffering. It is not just a general word to talk about things like hunger and poverty and sickness. It's a lot more specific than that. Jesus uses the same word in John 16 verse 33. It's translated in the ESV, tribulation. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And Paul used the same word in Acts 14 verse 22. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And it's the suffering that Jesus spoke about in Luke 6 that we were thinking about on in the sermon over the weekend. It is the suffering that is a mark of discipleship. Suffering at the hands of a hostile world on account of the Son of Man. So that's specifically what Paul is talking about here in Romans 5. And with that suffering and with any suffering, nobody takes pleasure in it. We don't enjoy suffering. We don't enjoy suffering of any kind unless there's something wrong with us. So on what grounds does Paul say that we rejoice in our sufferings? Well, we rejoice because we recognise that in his sovereignty, God has a plan in our suffering, a purpose behind it. We read more about that in Romans 8, but there's two things here in these verses that show what that purpose is. The first, I think, is implied in that repeated word, rejoice. Rejoice in the hope of glory and rejoice in suffering. So he connects glory and suffering as causes to rejoice, because glory and suffering go together. We heard those quotes from Jesus and Paul. Suffering for Christ is part of the normal Christian life. It is something that we should expect. But also, when we follow the example of Jesus, suffering is the only path to glory. There's no crown without denying ourselves and taking up our cross. Romans 8:17 says we are heirs with God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. So suffering and glory go together. But the thing with suffering and glory is the blessing of suffering is not just deferred. It's not just that we suffer now and wait for blessing, wait for glory. We also experience blessing in our suffering here and now. To go back into Romans 8, as you know, I go there a lot. There's that famous section that speaks of how all things, by which Paul's specifically referring to suffering, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And he then goes on to tell us what that purpose is, to conform us to the image of his Son. And what Paul's doing here in Romans 5 is he shows us how suffering does that work of maturing us as believers. And we have this chain in verses 3 and in verse 3 and 4. So first of all, he says that suffering produces endurance. We can't learn endurance unless we suffer. Nobody can learn endurance without having to endure something. And then he says that endurance produces character. It's a word that carries the idea of somebody who's undergone a test, clearly a tough one, and has passed that test. It's like a veteran instead of a rookie. So somebody who's been there and experienced it. He then says that character produces hope. Hope that is rooted in God, hope that's assured by the evidence of this growing maturity. So it's like we say, well, if God can produce maturity through our suffering, then we can rely on him for the future. So Paul says suffering precedes glory and suffering develops Christ-like maturity with a sure hope. And he then goes on to assure us that this hope does not, it will not disappoint us. It will not put us to shame. It means that we'll not be left embarrassed by choosing to place everything into the hands of God. I think for most people, there will be times when we're suffering and we are caused to doubt. We question the love of God in the midst of our suffering. When we suffer because of Christ, because we are seeking to faithfully follow him, that suffering may cause us to question whether it's all worth it. Is it really worth it to go through all this for the sake of Christ? But Paul says the hope God gives us and the hope that he grows in us through suffering, it will never let us down because God will never let us down. How do we know that? He says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, remember, this is all in the context of verse 1. We have been justified by faith. That is, in Christ, we are declared not guilty on the basis of the work that Jesus has done, only the work that Jesus has done at the cross. And when we're justified, we're given the Spirit. And one of the vital works that the Spirit does in us is to assure us of the love of God. To jump forward again into chapter 8, Paul writes there, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Later on, he describes the Spirit as the first fruits, the first taste of that inheritance that God has given us in his love. God doesn't ask us to use our intellect or our power or will to hold on to that hope of glory. He produces it in us as he brings us to maturity through suffering. He allows us to taste it now by the Spirit, who assures us and allows us to experience the love of God here and now. Tomorrow we'll look on into the next section and we see that how that love is expressed. It brings us much more clearly, much more specifically to the cross, to see how that love has been demonstrated to us by God. But I hope that's an encouragement to us that whatever it is that we face, this is part of God's work in us. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and we rejoice in our sufferings, sufferings that develop that character, that enable us to grow in hope, to hold on to hope, and that enable us to know the reality of God's love as the Spirit works in us. So let's take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank you for your incredible grace. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you that we can trust in your sovereignty in any circumstance and all circumstances, knowing that even in suffering for your name, there is hope, there is a purpose in it all. None of it is in vain. But Lord, we can rejoice even in suffering because we see your work in us by your Spirit, developing that Christ-like character, helping us to understand more of the hope that we have and to have that experience of hope also. Lord, we ask that you would continue to grow us, continue to mature us. And Father, whenever we face suffering, we ask that by your grace you would enable us to stand firm, to see you at work in our lives, and to know the love that you have poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray as well that that hope that we have would be something that stands as a witness to others. Lord, we know those familiar verses from 1 Peter about always being ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. Lord, we pray that the hope that is within us would cause people to ask, to seek, to understand what it is that makes us tick, what it is that enables us to rejoice in the hope of glory and to rejoice in sufferings. And Lord, we think of our friends and family. We think particularly of those who are struggling at the moment in isolation or with illness. Lord, we think of Dorothy's niece and her husband and Grace's niece. Lord, we do pray for these family members. All of us know people who do not know you, who are so close to us, and we pray that our response to suffering and our rejoicing in all things would cause them to seek you. So we thank you for this time together. We thank you for these precious truths from your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you do enable us to rejoice. Help us, Lord, to do so as we seek you and wait upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.